Catholic Connection is a co-production of Ave Maria Radio and EWTN Radio and carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.
Welcome to Catholic Connection with Teresa Tomeo, keeping you connected to your faith and your world. Teresa tackles the issues of faith and culture, the pro-life message, and media awareness. And now, here's Teresa Tomeo.
And it's a Monday. It's September 20th. Hope you had a beautiful weekend and got to rest a little bit or a lot moving into autumn. Can you believe it? Which officially hits on the calendar on Wednesday. We'll have a cool story about the harvest moon, which apparently is going to be this evening. Interesting story. And a lot of other interesting news and challenging stories. And we all come together as Catholics and continue to, as Mother Angelica says, put one foot on the ground, have that queasy feeling in the stomach. What she say? Faith is one foot on the ground, one foot in the air, and a queasy feeling in the stomach. But we keep on keeping on. After we give you the full newscast, Mary Rice Hassan is going to be joining us. She's a director of the Catholic Women's Forum in the Ethics and Public Policy Center, and she's given us some great insight in terms of what the Texas Heartbeat Law means for women. We'll chat with her. And she calls it a tale of two cities, which has repeatedly come to mind, the Dickens tale, the best of times and the worst of times, and saying one of the best developments for women occurred in Texas with the new heartbeat law, which went into effect. And, of course, you'll have a lot to say about that, and we'll join in the discussion overall in terms of what it means for women and why this is so important. I also want to share with you, and we'll do that after our two segments with Mary, a clip of the phenomenal address that Justice Clarence Thomas gave last week at Notre Dame. And the reason I want to play it is I was listening to the entire thing. I have a link to it on my Facebook page. So if you can, go and listen to the entire presentation as well as the Q&A before YouTube pulls it down. It's still up there. It's so amazing. Well, for so many reasons. But he's so transparent. He's so down to earth. And he talks in detail. He's mentioned it before, but I think in some of the addresses I've heard him give, this is probably, I think, the most detail I've heard concerning his falling away from the faith, what led to it, and how he came back. And for our times right now, as it says in Esther, for such a time as this, and also for parents and grandparents and religious educators who are struggling and sacrificing so much to help their kids embrace forever, God willing, the one holy Catholic and apostolic faith, this is such a shot in the arm. Because he's very open about what happened to him and how his world was rocked, even though he believed everything his grandparents taught him and the wonderful structure that he had. Catholic News Agency, by the way, is a great summary of his talk also. But then Martin Luther King was assassinated, and it rocked his world. And it caused him to question everything, and he walked away from his roots, from his faith, even from his family. At one point, his grandfather even threw him out of the house. It got that bad. And now look at him. He is not only an incredible jurist and, of course, reaching the epitome of a position in terms of a lawyer, but also his common sense and his down-to-earth approach and the understanding that he has and appreciation for the Catholic faith. And the talk that he was giving is mainly about the Declaration of Independence and what he's learned about it over the years and why it reflects that it's nothing new. You know, as it says in Ecclesiastes, nothing new under the sun. And he relates it to, of course, the Catholic faith and what he learned from the nuns in school and his grandparents. It's so powerful. So anyway, I picked a particular clip where he discusses his falling away and what brought him back. So this is something I think for the parents out there, for the grandparents, for the educators, for those in ministry who are really working hard, especially to educate and bring up good young Catholics. Do not give up. Keep praying, keep teaching, and then leave the rest up to God. You know, keep doing what you're doing. And it's just an amazing story. You think about someone like a Clarence Thomas who's a revert, right? And so many reverts and converts out there. So never lose hope. And then we'll wrap up with Gail Buckley. So good to have her back on. She had us worried there for a while. She did have a struggle with COVID, but she recovered, thanks be to God. And she's back in the saddle again, giving us her beautiful weekly addresses on Scripture. And this week we're going to take a look at Matthew 10:16. Behold, I send you out as sheep in the midst of wolves. So be wise as serpents and innocent as doves. Gail Buckley is the head of Catholic Scripture Study International. All right, let's take a look at the forecast before we move into the news, giving you a glimpse of the weather so you have an idea of what's going on. I can't believe we're at the almost the end of September already. Where did September go? I don't know. Went by very quickly. All right, here we go. Heavy rain from the remnants of Nicholas, continuing a threat for additional flooding and flash flooding across the Tennessee Valley today. Critical fire weather conditions forecast for portions of interior California also. And then we have a strong cold front that will slowly shift across the central then eastern U.S. throughout this week. And that's going to bring a threat for heavy rainfall and potential flooding in certain parts of the country. 5 minutes past the hour, we have a ton of news to get through, so let's do that right now. You are listening to Catholic Connection, a co-production of Ave Maria Radio and EWTN. Well, a Christian missionary helping Afghans saying the Taliban is now carrying out mass executions after taking control of the Southeast Asian nation. A former U.S. Army Special Forces and Ranger officer telling Christian Broadcasting Network the Islamist group is killing up to 40 people at a time. David Eubank says many people perceived to be the enemies of the Taliban are now being arrested. He also says he believes the arrests and killings are now going on across that country. The former chair of the Joint Chiefs of Staff calling the recent drone strike in Afghanistan a tragic mistake.
This was obviously an incredibly complex, fast-moving situation.
Speaking with ABC's This Week, Mike Mullen saying there should be at least some degree of accountability for those involved in the strike. It was admitted by the Biden administration last week that 10 innocent civilians were killed in that drone strike. Mullen noting the U.S. carried out both successful and unsuccessful drone strikes in the past, acknowledging the chaotic environment in the war-torn country made the most recent strike that much more difficult. Family and friends of a Utah Marine killed in Afghanistan are preparing to lay him to rest later this week at Arlington. The fiance of Staff Sergeant Taylor Hoover paying tribute to him during a memorial ceremony Saturday in Utah.
I don't want people to feel sad for me and what has been lost. I want people to know how truly blessed I am to have had the love of the most incredible man and everything that comes with that.
Nicole Weiss telling stories about Hoover's dedication to the military as well as their future plans as a married couple. The staff sergeant, one of 13 members of the American military, killed during that explosion in Kabul last month. He will be buried again in Arlington on Friday. At least 8 people dead after a mass shooting in a university in the Russian city of Perm. Authorities say the suspects went onto the local state university campus with a weapon this morning and started shooting. Students and teachers hid while police arrived and managed to take the suspect into custody. Pope Francis says that when we serve others, we receive God's embrace. Christopher Wells with Vatican News reports that giving his live stream of rest at a window overlooking St. Peter's Square, the Holy Father saying those who wish to follow Jesus must take the path of service.
La grandezza e la riuscita agli occhi di Dio hanno un metro diverso.
In God's eyes, Pope Francis said on Sunday, greatness and success are not measured by social position, job title, or wealth, but by service, not on what someone has, but on what someone gives. The Holy Father looked to the day's gospel where Jesus' disciples were discussing among themselves which of them was the greatest. Jesus responded with harsh words that are still valid today, the Pope said. If anyone would be first, he must be last of all and servant of all. The Pope acknowledged that the idea of service might seem a bit hackneyed, worn out by use. But he insisted that it has a precise and concrete meaning in the gospel. It means acting like Jesus, who had come into the world not to be served, but to serve.
Gesù, proprio per illustrare questo, dopo aver parlato del primato del servizio, compie un gesto.
Therefore, Pope Francis said, if we want to follow Jesus, we must follow the path of service that he himself traced out. Our fidelity to the Lord depends on our willingness to serve, the Pope said, adding that the more we serve, the more we are aware of God's presence.
Catholic nuns and the example of his grandparents as well, helping instilling in Supreme Court Justice Clarence Thomas the belief that all people were children of God, and that the racist flaws of American society were a betrayal of its best promises. That's among the many wise things he said in a lecture at Notre Dame on Thursday. Justice Thomas insisting, my nuns and my grandparents lived out their sacred vocation in a time of stark racial animus and did so with pride, dignity, and honor. He added, may we find it within ourselves to emulate them. To this day, he says, I admire and love my nuns. They were devout, courageous, and principled women. Thomas is only the second black Supreme Court justice delivering the lecture at the invitation of the Center for Citizenship and Constitutional Government. That's a new Notre Dame initiative that focuses on discussions and scholarship related to Catholicism and the common good. We'll have more on that fantastic address by Justice Thomas coming up after the bottom of the hour. The U.S. bishops are criticizing two House committees which recently advanced the Build Back Better Act, which did not include the pro-life Hyde Amendment. They're urging lawmakers to advance important and life-saving health care provisions without forcing Americans to pay for the deliberate destruction, they say, of unborn human life. Scott Pringle tells us human remains found in Wyoming fit the description of a Long Island woman who recently lived in Florida who's missing while on a road trip with her fiancé.
FBI officials say the body found in a camping area that borders Grand Teton National Park over the weekend is believed to be 22-year-old Gabby Petito. And folks gathered outside of Blue Point City Hall yesterday, her hometown in Suffolk County, to lay candles in support of her family.
I just wanted to come out here and show my support for my community and for Gabby.
My daughter's 27. My heart broke for the family.
Petito's fiancé, Brian Laundrie, remains missing. Authorities are searching for him in Florida. The two were on a cross-country road trip when he returned. Turned without Petito.
Haitian migrants camping out under a Texas bridge are being deported.
This has become the one bridge in Mexico that an entire nation has had its eye on. The situation beneath it changing rapidly. Nearly 15,000 migrants, most from Haiti, have now called it home after migrating here across the Rio Grande.
That's reporter Morgan Chesky, who says the Biden administration did say on Saturday it's going to accelerate the pace and increase the capacity of deportations over the next 72 hours. Meanwhile, Michael Kastner tells us the Senate parliamentarian is nixing the Democrats' immigration plan from a huge $3.5 trillion spending bill.
The ruling Sunday likely ends Democrats' hopes of using the large spending measure to get a pathway to citizenship for millions of immigrants passed. The Hill reports in the parliamentarian's guidance, Elizabeth McDonough called the plan, by any standard, a broad new immigration policy. Reconciliation, or only needing a simple majority to get legislation through the Senate, is used for budgetary measures. And McDonough says the policy change proposed far outweighs the budgetary impact and makes it not appropriate to include in the reconciliation bill.
A small crowd gathering in Washington over the weekend for the Justice for J6 rally over the treatment of hundreds of suspects in the January 6 incident at the Capitol. The organizer behind the protest, Matt Brainerd, saying that their goal is to bring attention and transparency to what's been going on.
But this is about disparate treatment of the nonviolent people. This is about the lack of transparency.
The weekend rally at the Capitol went on with few issues. Back in August, meanwhile, the FBI releasing a report finding practically no evidence, despite repeated claims by the media, that the January 6 attack on the U.S. Capitol was a result of an organized plot to overturn the presidential election results. That's according to four current and former law enforcement officials. Though federal officials have arrested or had arrested more than 570 alleged participants, the FBI said the violence was not centrally coordinated by far-right groups or prominent supporters of then-President Donald Trump. New Yorkers bracing for gridlock in Midtown Manhattan on the east side as the UN General Assembly gets underway today.
Now I work from home, so it's not a big deal. It's like when you have to go out and then come back in and things like that.
World leaders and their aides are gathered in New York City for the annual event that causes road and lane closures and congestions. Meanwhile, when it comes to coronavirus, the UN is mandating masks and wants world leaders to be fully vaccinated, but there will be no enforcement. The president of Brazil, meanwhile, says he is not getting the vaccine, but will be speaking at the General Assembly. The first all-civilian space mission returning to Earth. Here's crew member Dr. Sean Proctor talking about what it meant for her.
Well, I think, you know, one of the things for me that was important was to, representation and being able to talk to, you know, girls of color and women of color about my experience and even older women.
The SpaceX Inspirational 4 mission was the first crewed flight to have no professional astronauts, only four private citizens. The space capsule blasting off Wednesday from Cape Canaveral, orbiting the Earth for 3 days and then splashing down Saturday night in the Atlantic Ocean near the Florida coast. Part of the mission of the Inspiration 4 flight was to raise $200 million for St. Jude Children's Research Hospital. This year's Vatican Nativity display, coming from South America, the 2021 manger that will be placed in St. Peter's Square to celebrate Christmas, is from a town in Peru. And there's a really neat report with a video clip, by the way, on the Catholic News Agency website, if you're interested in learning more, catholicnewsagency.com. The small town is located 12,000 feet up in the Andes Mountains. Mark Mayfield wraps up the newscast for us, telling us that tonight's full moon will look much larger than normal as the harvest moon ushers in the autumn season.
Summer will officially come to an end in the northern hemisphere when the autumn equinox arrives this Wednesday. For many, autumn begins with the harvest moon, which will be at its brightest at around 8 p.m. Eastern Monday night. The harvest moon could also appear to have a yellow or orange tint when it's close to the horizon.
It is a Monday. Hope you're doing well. September 20th, 2021, the best of times and the worst of times when it comes to the Texas heartbeat law. As far as women are concerned, Mary Rice Hassan explains up next on a Monday.
Location, location, location. These are the three most important factors in real estate. The same might be said for colleges. Trudging through snow to get to an 8 a.m. statistics class is a much different experience than breezing by a palm tree to the raucous applause of a laughing gull. With the average temperature of 84 degrees and wetland nature as your backdrop, it's no wonder students tend to stay once they visit our campus. Ave Maria University, your future location, location, location. Visit avemaria.edu. Do you own popular index mutual funds or ETFs? If so, you're automatically own shares of companies that conflict with your moral beliefs. Ave Maria Mutual Funds are managed to conform to pro-life and pro-family values. Long-term investors can invest in the no-load Ave Maria Mutual Funds. The experienced professional portfolio managers make decisions based on investment fundamentals and pro-life values. You can learn more about Ave Maria Mutual Funds today at 866-AVE-MARIA or visit AveMariaFunds.com.
Hello, this is Steve Ray from Footprints of God Pilgrimages. Our Wisconsin pilgrimage is already sold out, but our St. Augustine trip was such a success that we're starting another one in November 1st through the 4th, the beginning of the Catholic history of our country, the first parish and the first parish mass. Great place. Also, three trips to the Holy Land, a St. Paul cruise, and Lourdes and Fatima.
To learn more about your Ave Maria Radio trip, find the Ave Maria Radio travel tab at avemariaradio.net.
When the need for senior care arises, home is where the heart is. Visiting Angels provides home care for mom or dad up to 24 hours per day, including personal care, meals, and light housework. You may select your professional caregiver with Visiting Angels. More information at visitingangels.com or at 877-374-LIVE. That's 877-374-LIVE. Visiting Angels, America's choice in senior home care.
Eighteen minutes past the hour. It's a Monday morning, and it's always great to catch up with Mary Rice Hassan. And you can find out more information about her wonderful work at the Catholic Women's Forum Ethics and Public Policy Center, catholicwomensforum.org. Mary, always great to catch up with you and to get your insight and direction on things that happen in the culture and how they impact us, not just as Catholics, but just as dignified human beings and children of God. Let's take a look and your writing and your summary regarding the heartbeat law, reflecting on Dickens' A Tale of Two Cities. It was the best of times and the worst of times. How so? Thanks for joining us. Good morning.
Thanks so much, Teresa. It's wonderful to be on with you. You know, I think there's something about this Texas heartbeat bill that really does bring out the best and the worst. And it is such an innovative approach to just get to the heart of the matter and just it threw the brakes on the abortion industry's just what seemed like a relentless, business model that couldn't be interrupted for anything. And so what's wonderful about that law is, first, lives are saved and women are given the chance to think twice, to consider an alternative. And another really wonderful aspect is that the state of Texas has stepped up with additional funds to support pregnant women. Mm-hmm. And there's been a tremendous outpouring within just across the U.S. to really support pregnant women and make sure they know that, because I think that's often something they don't know.
Well, that's the thing that most people don't know, and I would say many people even in the pro-life movement don't know how much is offered through pregnancy resource centers. And now with this additional funding coming from the state of Texas, how much emphasis is being put on what's made available for women who find themselves in these situations?
Well, I think part of the problem is that even within the church, we oftentimes hear the narrative that pro-lifers only care about unborn babies and they don't care about women after they're born. And as I'm sure you have experienced, and anyone who has actually worked with crisis pregnancy centers or worked with and accompanied women who've gone through an unexpected pregnancy where they just are feeling lost and desperate, nobody stops helping them as soon as they give birth. In fact, I know people who have welcomed women into their homes for years after, who have provided all sorts of material support apart from what's available and coordinated through government agencies and through specific programs that might be offered through churches, et cetera. I mean, that is such a myth, but it's part of the pro-abortion narrative that women are not cared for, that they're seen merely as vessels. And unfortunately, in the wake of the Texas law, I saw people who typically presented themselves as pro-life sort of ringing that bell, like, well, you know, women, we've got to care for women, and this doesn't necessarily do it. And I just shake my head. What's true is that pro-lifers are there for women all the way through. And that's been a consistent, I think that's one reason why things like this, laws like this have got into place, but why there's been such an explosion in pregnancy resources, because people do care.
Well, when pro-lifers say that, and I've actually heard from a few people who claim that they're pro-life and are expressing those unfortunate and very misguided and misinformed views, what that's telling me is that they're not informed, as well informed as they think, and the sources that they're to which they're listening are certainly not pro-life sources and have an agenda, because we have been doing this from the beginning. And what's happening, mm-hmm. and you know this as well, is it's all about projection. What's the organization that doesn't care about women? It's Planned Parenthood and the abortion mm-hmm. facilities, right? Because what do? They take your money and they take it either for a birth control or for the abortion pill or for an actual abortion, right? All of the above. And then bye-bye. Mm-hmm. We don't want to hear. I mean, Abby Johnson, who worked on the inside for years, and others who worked on the inside, have said that repeatedly. They, you know, don't let the door hit you on the way out. We've done our duty. We've gotten your money. Mm-hmm. Bye-bye. You don't see them offering services mm-hmm. or support or cars or rides to doctor's appointments or parenting mm-hmm. classes. So it's just the opposite. They're putting that onto us.
Exactly. And I thought it was interesting. There was a study a number of years ago called the Turnaway Study, which had yep. all sorts of methodological flaws. But one of the interesting things about that was overlooked was that the women who were unable to obtain an abortion, and these were women who were late in their pregnancy, even though they still suffered economically after giving birth to their children, those women were far more likely to turn their lives around because they had someone to live for.
Right.
They had a purpose and a desire to improve things. And that was without having a pregnancy resource center alongside. As you said, these women were just sort of like kicked to the can to the side of the road by the abortion clinics who said, hey, can't do it. You're on your own. And it's just it's a complete lie that there's no better option for women. And I think that's one of the beautiful things about this Texas heartbeat law is that it really provides puts a spotlight on the good things that are happening to assist women, to help women understand their equality doesn't depend on being able to get rid of their child. That as women, embracing and loving and making room for others is part of who we are, and there's plenty of resources to help us do that.
There certainly are. Mary Rice Hassan is the director of the Catholic Women's Forum, Ethics and Public Policy Center, CatholicWomen'sForum.org, taking an in-depth look at the heartbeat law. So, Mary, where do you think this is going in terms of what happens? I mean, what are you hearing out there with the next step for the heartbeat law?
Well, I think fortunately, this took the other side by surprise. However, I think at the same time, they are scrambling their legal deagles to try to figure out not just how to shut this down, but how to prevent it from happening in other places. And the Biden administration and pro-abortion organizations are doubling down on both their messaging and their funds that they are sending to try to promote abortion. And I think that's really revealing. because it shows that what this is about is not creating space for women to make a choice, but rather to promote abortion. They have a goal. And so I think we've got to put on the armor of God, because this is something they are so determined to do, because it's at root, you know, it's diabolical. The devil hates people. And so, mm-hmm. it's, you know, there's motivation here to just step up and to really push and promote abortion, particularly in these, not just impoverished communities, but communities with women of color. And it's tragic. So we've got to be prepared.
More with Mary Wise Hanson when we come back, talking about the best of times and the worst of times. This is a time to educate, 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 and all the pro-life movement does. We've been doing it before in terms of education, but we have to kick it up a notch, a big notch, so to speak. More on this coming up next. You're listening to Catholic Connection. It's a Monday morning, co-produced by EWTN and Ave Maria Radio. We'll be right back.
Love makes the world go round, songwriters tell us. But there is a greater love than mere romantic love. The theological virtue of love, called charity, means we love God above all things for his own sake, just because he's God and infinitely lovable. We love our neighbor as ourselves because we love God, and he desires us to love our neighbor. The Catholic Catechism tells us that Jesus makes charity the new commandment. By loving his own to the end, he renders the Father's love, which he receives, visible. While we were yet in our sins, and as such his enemies, Christ died out of love for us. He asks us to love as he does, love even our enemies, make even those far from us our neighbors, love children and the poor as Christ himself. This is Peggy Stanton, and this has been the Order of Malta's Minute with the Catechism.
Mississippi presented a brief to the Supreme Court, and in that brief, the state of Mississippi argued that the Constitution of the United States does not confer a right to abortion, asking the court to finally admit that cases claiming there is such a right, Roe v. Wade, Planned Parenthood v. Casey, have been wrongly decided and need to be overruled. Now, make no mistake, this is coming to a very different Supreme Court than we've had in the past, because former President Trump kept his promise to appoint originalist judges. And even if we assume they regard Roe v. Wade and Planned Parenthood v. Casey as bad decisions, we really don't know how they might go about revising, dismantling, you know, reforming Roe. This is going to be a very consequential Supreme Court case.
Cresta in the Afternoon with Al Cresta. 4 Eastern on EWTN Radio.
Welcome back, Catholic Connection, having a very important discussion with our friend Mary Rice Hassan, talking about the best of times and the worst of times, of course, with the Texas Heartbeat Law, the Catholic Women's Forum, all kinds of information on there, including her essay on this. And to me, we have to help people understand, even if they're pro-life and they vote pro-life, that we have to have more boots on the ground in this, because this is, we were talking during the break, we're at a pivotal point right now, aren't we?
Yeah, we absolutely are, Teresa, and I'm grateful for your show and the voices of others who continue to speak about this with both knowledge but charity. I think sometimes we, as people who care about life, have concentrated so much of our energies on what's happening at the Supreme Court level, and we have to remember that each one of us is tasked to change the situation right where we are, which means to step out of our comfort zone, to speak the truth, to reach a helping hand to those who are going through difficulties, but also to be willing to stick our heads up out of the foxhole and take a public stand on this, because this truly is such a defining issue. And we are at a pivot point. We're at a point where the other side is unafraid to say that what they advocate is killing, that women should have the right to do that. This is not like 30 years ago when people were saying, ah, it's a bunch of cells, and even President Biden sort of dissembling on that, saying life does not begin at conception, which was a reversal of his position. That's not where most of the pro-abortion industry is. I mean, they are open and frank that this is killing, this is taking the life of a human being, but they feel it's not only justified in situations, it is within the purview of the woman to make that decision, which is not a power that we give to individuals in any other area of the law. We don't just get to decide that someone's inconvenient or troubling or whatever and do away with them. You know, so the fact that the abortion industry is willing to double down on that is means that they need to be met with the truth, spoken in love, but we also need to be willing to be active, to join the 40 Days for Life campaign, to fund good pro-life efforts and crisis pregnancy efforts, but speak the truth within your circle, within the realm that you have to influence others.
Yeah, it's so important. I was telling you during the break that my husband, who's been a sidewalk counselor in Detroit for years, has noticed the last couple of months, and in particular the last couple of weeks, that the escorts, you know, quote unquote, trying to protect women from the pro-lifers going into the abortion mills, they're getting more and more aggressive, and they're trying to really bait the counselors on the sidewalk and really mm-hmm. literally physically going as close as possible as they can to them, getting in their face, trying to get a reaction from them, a violent reaction, mm-hmm. so they can get them arrested, and then they can have another news story about how crazy the pro-lifers are. And this has been happening increasingly in the last couple of weeks since the Texas heartbeat law, where you know, there was always tension out there, but normally they left them alone, they let them pray and hand out the information because they were legally mm-hmm. within their rights. But now it's, he was saying, just came home Saturday and he was just, I mean, he said it's getting even uglier. And they need more counselors out there on the sidewalk.
Yeah, and we have to be willing to do that because we can't take the bait to be drawn in
right,
to,
exactly.
to fight this battle on their level. But we need to remember truth and love. So we need to speak the truth. We need to know the truth and speak it because facts do change people's minds.
Right.
But so does our attitude. So does that willingness to reach out, to smile, to care for someone. And if you're not actively involved, if you've been sitting on the sidelines, now is the time. Now is the time because so much is at stake right now.
When you say you've heard from people in the pro-life movement, where is that coming from? Are people thinking that not enough is being done for women? I mean, is it just a lack of information or are they being pressured to say things? What do you think, Mary?
You know what? I think this is part of the progressive narrative. And so those within the church who are trying to reach out to progressives, I think sometimes just give too much credence to that talking point from the left. And so they try to find common ground by saying, oh, yes, you know, that's true. We've not done a good job in terms of caring for women and their babies. And frankly, that's just not true.
That's a lie. Uninformed. That's an absolute lie.
It is. It is. So I think it's a mistaken desire to find common ground by people who perhaps don't really know the truth about the situation. Maybe they have been on the sidelines and they need to get out there and see actually the good that's being done. So we've got to counter the false narratives, but more importantly, just get out there. Ask the Lord, how do you want to use me? I'm stepping up, Lord. I'm answering your call. I want to be there on the side of life and show me where to give. Show me how to help.
There is so much information available in terms of what's being done for women through mm-hmm. pregnancy resource centers. I know you have information at the Catholic Women's Forum. I think we have to have these facts on hand and reply, not only personally what we've done, maybe we've helped, maybe we've mm-hmm. supported a particular ministry, but to be able to say, okay, well, what is Planned Parenthood doing? And the other major mm-hmm. abortion providers, and Planned Parenthood's the largest abortion provider, what are they doing to support women mm-hmm. who want to choose to keep their child or place it with an adoptive family? How many adoptions does Planned Parenthood do or have they done? And if someone says, well, I don't want an abortion, what does Planned Parenthood do with that? Do they offer, okay, parenting classes? Do they offer doctor's appointments and rides to doctor's appointments? Do they offer clothes for the baby and items? And again, assistance for, in many of the cases in these pregnancy resource centers, Mary, and you know this, up to 4 years. And the pregnancy mm-hmm. resource centers do this mostly on a volunteer level, and then they don't get government funding. Now, in Texas, they're mm-hmm. adding, they're giving them money as part of this heartbeat law. But the vast majority of pregnancy resource centers around the country do this just with donations.
Right. And I think it's a telling point that over the past 10 to 20 years, we have seen the number of abortion clinics shrink.
Right.
And yet we have seen this tremendous mushrooming of pro-life pregnancy crisis centers and full-service women's health centers that are run by people who have a commitment to life. And so, and most of those things, as you said, are not funded with government money. That comes from the generosity of individuals. So we really have been changing the landscape for women, but it's important to get that message out there. And also, again, I say this from the bottom of my heart, if you're one of those people who has personally believed in the pro-life cause, understood what abortion is about, but has not jumped in to give, to help, now is the time. This really is such a pivot point in the battle to save women's and children's lives, but also to capture the minds and hearts of people and help them realize this awful, awful Holocaust that's going on in our own country. And there is something that each of us can do to change that situation.
And educate yourself on the reality of abortion, especially the impact of women and what happens to women when they have abortion versus when they either place their baby with an adoptive family or carry that pregnancy to term, even women who have conceived through rape. I would encourage people to check out the great work of Dr. David Reardon and his book, Victims and Victors, that takes a look at the research that's been done in interviews with women who have conceived through rape and decided to, again, either keep their child or put that child up for abortion, and up for adoption, excuse me, and just the opposite of what the media are saying in terms of how women find that much more healing than going through with an abortion. Mary, great information. Thank you. Check out Mary's great work at the Catholic Women's Forum, catholicwomensforum.org. She's a director of the forum within the Ethics and Public Policy Center. Again, catholicwomensforum.org. Our guest, Mary Rice Hansen. And a little insight into what Clarence Thomas had to say last week at Notre Dame. Stay tuned.
When the need for senior care arises, home is where the heart is. Visiting Angels provides home care for mom or dad up to 24 hours per day, including personal care, meals, and light housework. You may select your professional caregiver with Visiting Angels. More information at visitingangels.com or at 877-374-LIVE. That's 877-374-LIVE. Visiting Angels, America's choice in senior home care.
Bishop Robert Barron on the priesthood.
You as a parent apply Galatians 5. Is watch your kids as they move into the religious space, if you want to put it that way. I, you know, made noises about the priesthood on and off when I was a little kid. My parents were never oppressive about it. They never pressed me in that direction. But they would quietly indicate an openness to that, or like, that's a good thing. I remember I still have it upstairs, a Bible that my parents got me for Christmas in 1969. I'm a little kid. And it's, you know, from mom and dad to Bob, Christmas 1969. They knew, they sensed I was kind of interested in religious things. So I would say that, don't be pushy, of course, but don't go the other direction. That's, my generation got too much of that, was, back off. Who am I to tell you what to do? You make up your mind. No, I think gently, quietly affirming that, yeah, that's a good thing you're thinking about. And you should be open to that.
EWTN. Live truth. Live Catholic.
Why do we need Catholic radio? Because not everybody's sitting in front of a computer or watching their television set at home. How about when driving to work? Catholic radio's there for you. I may be a Catholic priest, but I'm still a student of the faith. And Catholic radio helps supply good material, whether it be a question and answer format show, whether it be a show itself on doctrine or theology. I myself, as a priest, am always learning.
Father Wade thinks Catholic radio is important. So should you.
Welcome back, Catholic Connection. It is a Monday morning. If you haven't listened to it yet, do so. I put a link to his full presentation at Notre Dame last week, along with a Q&A segment, on my Facebook page, and you can find it there. I highly recommend it. It's very encouraging, very insightful, and I think you'll get an awful lot out of it, wherever you are in your life or in your walk with the Lord in the church. And I admire Clarence Thomas for so many reasons. Obviously, a great legal mind and an amazing Supreme Court justice, a man of great principle and and just, you know, true to his calling and answering his call so well. But he was on a journey and still is, as he says. And he talks about very honestly the time in his life when he told the students that he fell away from the faith and what happened. But he credits his education, his Catholic education, the wonderful nuns, and also his grandparents, because he went back to that solid upbringing when all was lost, or so he thought. So this is a clip, a portion of where he talks about his reversion. He fell away from the faith after the assassination of Martin Luther King Jr., became very disillusioned and angry, and that led him down a very dangerous path. And yet, thanks be to God, it was his Catholic faith that brought him back. Take a listen.
When Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. was assassinated in 1968, I lost faith in the teachings of my childhood and succumbed to an array of angry ideologies. Indeed, that was why I left the seminary in May of 1968. I let others and my emotions persuade me that my country and my God had abandoned me. I became disoriented, disenchanted with my faith and my country, and deeply embittered. And perhaps worst of all, I let my family down. This was further exacerbated when my grandfather asked me to leave his house following my abandonment of my vocation. I was 19 years old. I was consumed by negativity, cynicism, animus, and any other negative emotion you can conjure up. Sadly, the destructive disposition that I exhibited then appears to be celebrated today. I left Savannah for college at Holy Cross that following fall, where I fell in quickly with radical ideologies such as Black Power. It was an era of disenchantment and deconstruction. The beliefs of my youth were subjected to the jaundiced eye of critical theories, or perhaps more accurately, cynical theories. What had given my life meaning and a sense of belonging, that this country was my home, was jettisoned as old-fashioned and antiquated. It was considered preposterous to believe in such outmoded things. Having rejected my faith, my family, and my country, I was searching for something to occupy me. It was easy and convenient to fill that void with victimhood, a Black man with an axe to grind. So many of us focused intently on our racial differences and grievances, much like today, I'm afraid. My grandfather, a man of reality, not theory, often asked me in an exasperated tone, "When you get your way and undermine this country, then what?" Other times, he would simply walk away, wondering out loud why he and my grandmother had made so many sacrifices for me. From time to time, he would ominously forewarn me, "You just live long enough, you'll see." As usual, he was right. As I matured, I began to see that the theories of my young adulthood were destructive and self-defeating. After recognizing that I was adrift, what I realized more than anything else is that I needed to regain common sense and judgment and what I had jettisoned. I had rejected my country, my birthright as a citizen, and I had nothing to show for it. Perhaps that is the ultimate destination of nihilistic ideologies. The wholesomeness of my childhood had been replaced with an emptiness, cynicism, and despair. I was faced with the simple fact that there was no greater truth than what my nuns and my grandparents had taught me. We are all children of God and rightful heirs to our nation's legacy of civic equality. We were duty-bound to live up to obligations of the full and equal citizenship to which we were entitled by birth. On the morning of April 16, 1970, after returning from a riot, I stood outside the chapel at Holy Cross and asked God to take hate out of my heart. I used this background to set the stage for my later and more in-depth encounter with the Declaration of Independence in the mid-1980s. At that time, having run agencies and seen how the federal government actually worked, I became deeply interested in the Declaration of Independence. I had hoped it would bring some clarity to the cacophonous world in which I found myself. Studying the founding, however, felt more like a return to familiar ground, the ground of my upbringing. The Declaration captured what I had been taught to venerate as a child, but had cynically rejected as a young man. All men are created equal, endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights. In so declaring, the Declaration of Independence did not propose to have discovered anything new. Its truths were self-evident. They were beyond dispute. They were a priori in the society of my youth, imbibed at school, home, and in the culture. They were a given. And as I rediscovered the God-given principles of the Declaration and our founding, I eventually returned to the church, which had been teaching the same truths for millennia.
Teaching the same truths for millennium. As it says in Ecclesiastes, and as Clarence Thomas found out, and as he shared so humbly and transparently with students last week at Notre Dame, nothing new under the sun. The church teachings are evergreen. They were handed down from Christ himself to the hierarchy of the one holy Catholic apostolic faith. And we can find them everywhere because they reflect the natural law and the dignity of the human person, especially in incredible documents such as the Declaration of Independence. We have a link to the full talk on my Facebook page. Catholic News Agency also has a terrific summary at catholicnewsagency.com. 46 minutes past the hour, Gail Buckley up next with our scripture verse of the week and also talking about her COVID recovery. We're so glad she's back on the mend. Well, actually on the mend more than that and back to work. Stay tuned.
This program is brought to you in part by Charity Mobile, a proud partner of Ave Maria Radio for over 15 years. Charity Mobile is the pro-life cell phone company and has sent nearly $2 million to thousands of pro-life charities. 4G LTE coverage is available nationwide, and 5% of your monthly plan price goes to your favorite pro-life charity. A video introduction is available at CharityMobile.com. Charity Mobile, everyday living, effortless giving. CharityMobile.com.
Brought to you by the nonprofit Seton Home Study.
Hi, everybody. Dr. Ray Guarendi here. You thinking about homeschooling? Seton Homeschooling, 35 years of experience, pre-K through high school. They provide the books, the lesson plans, the counselors, the grading services, the tests. That's right. Well, my wife used Seton, some of our children. And I will tell you this, two of them got perfect ACT scores in verbal. And overall, the Seton students scored more than 100 points above average on the SAT, 27% higher on English and reading. It is a rigorous program. At least now, 1.3 million students are homeschooled. You want to give the very best to your kids? Trust me on this one. Go with Seton. It is a beautifully rigorous academic program. Go to SetonHome.org. SetonHome.org.
We are the pro-life generation, passionate about building the culture of life in our healthcare and in our nation. But not all healthcare options are equally pro-life, and some provide morally objectionable procedures. CMF Curo is different. CMF Curo is a pro-life Catholic healthcare ministry providing a pathway for its members to build the culture of life in their healthcare choices, not destroy it. Learn more about CMF Curo at MyCatholicHealthcare.com. That's MyCatholicHealthcare.com.
49 minutes past the hour. Welcome back, and welcome back to Gail Buckley from Catholic Scripture Study International. Back to work, thanks be to God. And Gail, before you go into our scripture verse for today, we're just so grateful that you're healthy again. I know you had a bad bout with COVID, and I told you during the break that I put a request for prayers on my page, my Facebook page, and it exploded. I don't know how many hundreds and hundreds of people were praying for you, so we're so glad you're okay. So things are good now? You're back home?
Yes, I'm back home. I'm among the living again. Thanks be to God. And
thank your listeners and everybody so much for the prayers. It means so much to me. I'm so blessed to be Catholic and have so many wonderful Christian friends praying for me.
And your husband's doing well, too. He had COVID as well, correct?
Yes, he did. And he teaches at a private Catholic school, and I think he picked it up from one of the kids and brought it home. But he didn't have it as badly, and he's back at work, and he's doing well.
Okay. And you were in the hospital for how long, honey?
6 days.
Wow.
Yeah, it was scary. Scary stuff.
Yeah. Well, everyone was praying for you, so we're so glad that you are back on back at work and that you were on the mend pretty quickly after a few days in the hospital. All right, our verse for today, I wanted to give you a little bit more time. Matthew 10:16, this is very timely for right now in our world. So is that why you chose it?
Yes, absolutely. You know, it says, "Behold, I send you out a sheep in the midst of wolves. So be wise as serpents and innocent as doves." And you know, Jesus was using a figure of speech to compare the two unlike things to instruct his disciples, you know, how to behave in their ministry. And it's common sense, really, when you think about it, Teresa, you know. The people today are so against religion. And just then, as it is now, you know, they're hostile to believers. And as believers, it's difficult for us to evangelize effectively now. You know, Jesus taught his followers that to be Christ-like in a godless world, they have to combine, you know, both the wisdom of the serpent and the harmlessness of the dove. And, you know, we know from Genesis, you know, that a serpent was, you know, shrewd and subtle, and of course a dove is always known as harmless and peaceful and all. But, you know, Jesus wasn't saying we need to be underhanded or sneaky like a snake, but he was letting us know that we need to use the wisdom, you know, the wisdom of one and the harmlessness of the other, to combine them in a Christian character. It doesn't mean, you know, we have to be mean or anything. We just need to be shrewd. And actually, it's an asset to be shrewd. It's not a defect. It's a quality that, you know, Jesus told his disciples to model. You know, people, I can't believe, Teresa, how far we've come from God, you know, that this world now today, especially in America, that people are not just defensive against, you know, evangelization, but they're aggressive. And, you know, yesterday's reading and wisdom, how they, they wanted to kill the one that was out, you know, and he didn't do anything. He just wanted to bring them the good news. And yet they're aggressive and they're hostile. And so we have to be, you know, we have to have our wits about us. And, you know, in the Bible, we saw so many times where they tried to ensnare Jesus and trick him. And that's what he's telling us. We need to have our wits about us and be careful and not fall into their snares, but at the same time, be loving and Christ-like.
Yeah. This is a very important verse right now in our world, because there's so much animosity, especially toward, I just did an interview with Mary Rice Hassan regarding the situation with the heartbeat law, and then I just played a clip from Clarence Thomas's amazing address last week at Notre Dame. He was wonderful. But this whole idea of really having the wisdom and the knowledge in terms of knowing when to respond and how to respond. That old Kenny Rogers song, you got to know when to hold him and know when to fold him. I mean, that's a great analogy. Because if you're going to be entering into a discussion, and you have to first, I would say, pray, obviously, but then you also have to see if you can understand where a person is coming from. Where are they on their journey? Or maybe they're on a totally different track in terms of, as you said, being anti-Christ or anti-church or anti-religion altogether. So how do we, put ourselves in their shoes and say, what is going to, you know, enable us to have a conversation with them? And sometimes you have to do it quickly if you're in a situation and you don't want to lose the opportunity, but you also have to do it wisely, correct?
Yes, absolutely, absolutely. And again, they're aggressive sometimes because they don't trust us. They're out to destroy us a lot of times. And so, you know, they don't want us near them. They don't want to hear what we have to say. And so we have to be shrewd and loving and just keep praying and trying.
And also, I think knowing Scripture and knowing our faith, that's why what you do is so important. How is it going with Catholic Scripture Study? What's the latest in terms of your programs?
Well, it's going great. We don't have a new study this year, but we got the old studies that we're still running, and so it's doing well. I mean, you know, with COVID, it's been hard because people weren't gathering, but hopefully that's going to change.
All right, and give us your website again if folks want more information.
Yes, cssprogram.net.
All right, my dear, you take it easy. Don't work too hard.
Thank
we don't
you.
Want you to get sick again, and we're glad you were able to come on
right.
a little early and talk to us about your recovery. Gail Buckley
Thank
with
so
Catholic. Yes, you're welcome. You're welcome, sister. Catholic Scripture Study International. And the verse that she chose today from Matthew ties in directly to our gospel for today. We have to be wise, and we have to be able to go out there and speak the truth in love. But Jesus also told us not to hide our light under a bushel. Quite literally, he said this. Luke chapter 8, Jesus said to the crowd, "No one who lights a lamp conceals it with a vessel or sets it under a bed. Rather, he places it on a lampstand so that those who enter may see the light. For there is nothing hidden that will not become visible, nothing secret that will not be known and come to light. Take care, then, how you hear. To anyone who has more will be given, and from one who has not, even what he seems to have will be taken away." So we are held responsible for knowing what we know and sharing what we know and doing it wisely and shrewdly, as Gail said in that verse from Matthew, but also understanding that we have a responsibility to share this incredible faith, that we can't hide it, you know, under a bed or under a bushel. It's so important to be able to speak the truth in love and share the beauty, as Clarence Thomas did last week, of our Catholic faith. Have a great Monday, and tomorrow is the last day of summer, if you can believe it. We will talk to you tomorrow on Catholic Connection. Don't forget, all of our programs, every single segment is archived, and you can find it under our archive section at AveMariaRadio.net. Talk to you tomorrow. Ciao, ciao, on a Tuesday. See ya.
You've been listening to Catholic Connection with Teresa Tomeo. Catholic Connection is a co-production of Ave Maria Radio and EWTN Radio and carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. Our producer is Andrew Kruchek. For copies of this program or for more information, visit AveMariaRadio.net. That's AveMariaRadio.net. Thanks for listening, and join us next time for another edition of Catholic Connection.